is over.
Undertaker's legend grows.
You feel this?
Amazing undefeated streak continues.
It's the epitome of WrestleMania.
Shaking wrestling fans, it is Monday, April 7th, and you know, it's not just any old Monday. It is one of the most looked forward to days of the year. One of the most anticipated is probably one of the more proper ways to say it. Pardon me, I've been partying all day because it's one of those days where people celebrate worldwide. It's my birthday. Thanks, folks. And not only that, more importantly, I'm sure you're all celebrating because it is the day after WrestleMania and the Raw after WrestleMania, one of the most exciting shows that WWE always puts together. You always get an awesome crowd in there, at least that's what you've really been developing the reputation for the last few years. And you're always going to expect a few surprises, and we're going to be talking about those surprises we got tonight, probably a little bit about WrestleMania as well. First off, though, let me introduce the awesome panel that we got to talk about what went down the past couple days. First off, I'm Mike Payton. I'll be your lead host through this evening's broadcast. Joining me, first off, the leader of the Drew Crew, Mr. Drew White. What's shaking, Drew?
Not much. Thanks for having me on, and happy birthday to you, Mr. Payton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Drew. Also with us from the Retro Unlimited Network, Mr. Miguel Leon. What's shaking, Miguel?
I'm currently treating some bad first-degree burns on my hand.
Holy clutch. Crap.
I burned myself on some oil cooking dinner today, so I've just been kind of just rubbing ice on my hand for the better part of the night.
Burn.
Also with us, one of the hosts on Mega Powers Radio with the Addicted to Anime show, and also hopefully getting his MMA show back off the ground since there's a certain MMA star who's been making headlines this week, Mr. Steven Huego. What's shaking?
Not much. I'll be holding down the chat this evening, so let's get this thing rolling.
Yeah, if you are listening to the show and you don't see the chat room down there, just reload the page. I was a little late getting the chat room launched. We had some technical difficulties, so I apologize for that. But just reload the page, and you will see the chat room appear down at the bottom, as you usually do. And, of course, lastly here with us, the leader of the Smark Out Moment page and the lead host of the Smack Talk podcast on that very page and a regular here on the Monday Night Raw post show, Mr. Anthony Mango. What's shaking, Tony?
I need a couple more things to add to the introduction. I need to start taking up a whole bunch of other projects.
Well, I hear lunch is available for a couple websites.
Sweet. I want to be lunch.
Hey!
All right, guys. We got tons and tons of stuff to talk about. I believe we're probably going to be trying to stay off of WrestleMania talk for us here. But if you, the listener, want to talk about WrestleMania, we encourage you to talk about it as much as you want. We'll be shooting small opinions out here and there. But reason we're reserving is because we're going to be having a full discussion about WrestleMania this Friday on Smack Talk. So tune in for that. But tonight, let's stick to talking about the events we got here. Later on in the show, we're going to be opening the phone lines. We open them up at 11:30, which is actually only in a few minutes because Raw ran really late. Area code 760-512-7247 is the phone number you want to call to get yourself in line to get onto the show. We also got the chat room rolling, as Mr. Steven Huego said. And also, we'll have Twitter open with the hashtag RawPostShow. Lots of avenues for you to get your opinion involved. This is the most interactive post show. We don't just have Twitter tickers going across the bottom and say we're interactive. No, you actually get to come on here, your own voice, on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. As I always like to start off on the show, I go around to the other hosts and ask them what the number one thing they took away from at the show. So let's do that. Drew, watch you start off. What was the number one thing you took off from the show tonight?
It's either Cesaro being the new Paul Heyman guy that's kind of been rumored. That or all the NXT stars that they're starting to bring up, like Don't Stop Believin'.
Oh, those multiple video packages that they had tonight were absolutely tremendous. I loved it. Steven, what was the number one thing you took away tonight?
That's a really hard question. All I'm going to say is tonight's crowd was awesome and they should give themselves a round of applause, so they've probably already done that several times.
So let me ask you, do you think they were better than New Jersey?
That's... I enjoyed this crowd better than New Jersey, yeah.
Wow.
I think they were a lot more boisterous and insane last time. But who out of the two which I enjoyed more as far as interacting with the guys in the ring, I like this crowd better. Maybe it's because I'm just more invested in the product this year round, too.
That's a very fair assessment as well. You know, following last year's WrestleMania, people were very negative feeling after that. And I think people are much more open-minded to what the future may hold with this one. But let me move ahead. Miguel, what's the number one thing you took off of the show tonight?
All the debuts, all the NXT debuts, the promos we got, it really did feel like the first episode of a new season of a TV show. You know, it really felt like a new beginning of the year, which, you know, WrestleMania really, from a card perspective, rarely has felt like that to where it's the end of the previous year. But the night after Raw this year felt like something new. It felt like the start of better big things to come, and I'm excited for one specific debut coming up. But I'll wait until I reveal who it is.
Okay, well, we're gonna be going through all those little vignettes we got. Let's lastly get the opinion of Mr. Tony Mango. What's the number one thing you took away from this evening?
I have to echo basically what Miguel said. It really felt like a reset, and the thing that I'm most excited about is if this reset is true. Not only do we have a couple more people to the roster, but we don't have Del Rio. Yay!
He was not on the show. I didn't even notice that he was not on the show tonight.
So well, this is well, a good well, start to a new year if we don't have Del Rio.
Yeah, maybe he's dead.
Well, I had heard off of these wrestling websites that a certain other person was set to debut, but I don't remember seeing him coming out. I think I saw him in the crowd a couple times. He looked really disappointed. But yeah, I felt like we were missing something.
A disappointed fan member? Was it that black guy from the front row mania?
No. I'm talking about a certain painted-faced fan in the front row there.
You know what? You know what, Miguel? I didn't notice that until like halfway through, and I didn't know if anyone else noticed that as well.
I didn't.
It was some guy that had the Sting face paint from like 1997 on.
You sure it wasn't like a Juggalo or something?
No,
Dace put a picture of it on his Facebook page. I want that to be a thing. I want somebody to turn that into like a wrestling, into like some type of like meme or something. Disappointed Sting fan.
The best part about Undertaker losing is we never have to have this fucking Sting discussion again.
Thank God. Yeah, I'm down with that.
Fuck me.
And we don't even have to debate over whether the streak should end anymore. It's over.
Yeah.
It's all over, guys. It's a new age. And if I'm going to echo one thing, I am actually going to agree with both Miguel and Tony. It feels like something brand new is going on. Cesaro feels like this fresh new character they're going to be putting a lot of steam behind. We got these vignettes for not one, but two NXT characters, not to mention seeing a third NXT character come up on the show, make their debut, and win a title in their debut. Is Paige going to walk around with two titles now? Is that what she's going to be? I guess we'll debate
she
that.
She can walk around with whatever she likes.
I hear you there. So we got lots and lots of events to go into. Once again, I just want to remind everyone, if you want to tune into the show, area code 760 512-7247. We also have our other telephone number, 713-955-0363. Get yourselves in line. We're going to be opening up the phone lines in just a few minutes. You can also join us via Skype. If that is your preferred method, just click the little Skype icon on the broadcast page. We got the chat room rolling, and of course, via Twitter with the hashtag Raw Post Show. Guys, let's begin at the very start of the show and start running down all these awesome events that went on throughout this evening. We actually began with the very same video package that they played before the Triple H Daniel Bryan match last night, which was very well done, except for the fact that I could not stand this song. And even the song itself wasn't so bad. It was the way the singer was saying, a monster. I mean, who am I to judge a people for pronouncing things weirdly? But that kind of annoyed me. Daniel Bryan is the first person who comes out to greet us with the crowd. He's having a fun interaction with them. They're chanting Daniel Bryan for, had to have been, what, a good minute and a half, 2 minutes. The crowd would just not let up. They were so happy for Daniel Bryan, and that's great. You know, a lot of people were worried that by the time Daniel Bryan was winning this title, people were not going to care anymore. not the case. People are still extremely excited for Daniel Bryan. The show opened with just a sea of people doing the yes chant. So excellent for Daniel Bryan. This is going to continue going through the rest of the year with the crowd behind him, at least for tonight. Guess we'll have to see how the rest of the year goes. However, the happy moment does not get to last for long. Triple H comes out, interrupts Daniel Bryan, and tells him that he better enjoy this moment of happiness because that's all it is, a moment. And that Daniel Bryan will have to defend his title that night on Raw against Triple H. Incredible setup, I think, for this, putting this kind of opposition against Daniel Bryan. We'll talk about how that ended up later on in the evening, but how did you guys feel about Daniel Bryan coming out there, his interaction with the crowd, and Triple H forcing himself into this matchup? What was your initial reaction with that? Wago, why don't you start us off?
One word, yes. It was, this whole segment was awesome. And it's one of those funny things where normally a fans will burn out from chanting. Daniel Bryan had to actually interrupt them. So I love this crowd. I love the interaction with him and Daniel Bryan. And Triple H cut an awesome angry promo. He played his part fantastic. And sometimes one of the biggest criticisms Daniel gets is for being all smiley and goofy during a serious moment. But it actually worked perfectly in this one when he got in his face and started lifting both titles. So I love the whole thing. And it's awesome having Daniel Bryan as champion.
Miguel?
In terms of the actual opening segment, I liked it. It really showed just how far Daniel Bryan has come, especially that opening video package, which was the first time I had ever saw it. And I really dug it. I loved how they basically started from his humble beginnings on NXT and just showed where he's gotten. I love the fan interaction. I will say this. I was expecting it to be a lot louder. I mean, I've heard much bigger pops in years past. So I was expecting like to be this huge monstrous reaction. And I mean, it was a good reaction, but it didn't blow me away in terms of like in terms of some of the other ones I've heard. And in terms of the matchup itself being made, I was scared. I'll be perfectly honest. When they told me that they were doing the rematch the night before, I thought back to Orton versus Christian after Christian won the World Heavyweight title. I'm like, there's no way they're going to do that. There's no way. But I mean, there's always that fear in the back of your mind that they'll do something that dumb. So I was a little bit hesitant.
Drew?
I really like the segment. I'm kind of against Miguel. I thought I thought it was loud enough for what it is. It didn't need to blow the roof off. I mean, and also the one chant I did like was the "You deserved it" chant, because out of everyone in the WWE that deserved that chant, it had to be Daniel Bryan. So I liked that. And you know, I'm gonna echo what Steven said when it comes to Triple H playing the angry role. I thought he did a very good job here.
And Tony.
You know you're doing something well when the fans are chanting that the heel is an asshole. That was a great way to start off, and it's not just because it was the true focal point of WrestleMania and the WWE title, which should always be the top priority and the main thing that we're concerned about, despite the whole Undertaker thing, but it was also a really good way to tease the fans. Like Miguel had mentioned, it crossed his mind that this was a reference to what happened before, and it made people nervous for later on, but nervous in a good way, because that is what you should be doing. You should always be setting up the main event of the show, whether it's Raw, SmackDown, a pay-per-view, whatever the case may be, instead of just having each episode start off with a pointless promo that sets up a match. It needs to be something that builds upon other things, and this is exactly what they should be doing. So kudos to them. Great job.
All right, so next we get a commercial break, of course. Backstage, we come back. We're backstage with Orton and Batista, who are furious that Triple H is inserting himself into the match, getting another match with Daniel Bryan before both of them, who both rightfully have a claim. You know, Batista did not get his fair chance against the champion, as he should have, by right, after winning the Royal Rumble. And Orton is one owed his championship rematch because of a rematch clause, whatever. I don't believe in that, but he also was not the person who was pinned in this match, or not pinned, but beaten. So Orton has a very fair claim to go into that title again. But Triple H is the one who inserted himself, and as a consolation prize, Orton and Batista are told that they will later on in the night be facing the Usos for the tag team titles. We'll talk about that match as we get to it. But the matchup we did get next was a six-man tag between John Cena, Sheamus, and Big E against all three members of the Wyatt family. Once again, I think the most notable things that I have out of this match are chants from the crowd. One, which is something I really hope catches on, is the crowd was singing John Cena sucks, John Cena sucks to his theme. Very reminiscent of back when they used to do that to Kurt Angle's theme. That's something I really hope catches on. Because they'll have to come up with a new theme for John Cena. What are you going to do? You can't keep just playing that when people singing that when John Cena comes out.
Oh, come on. They kept it for Kurt Angle.
That's Kurt Angle, though. This is John Cena.
And Kurt Angle was a heel, though, for most of that, though.
Well, even when he was a face, they did it, but it's Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle was not John Cena.
Hey, Kurt Angle was an Olympic gold medal. I don't see Cena with an Olympic gold medal. I'm just saying.
Touche. Touche. And also, when Bray Wyatt went to do his little demon crawl thing, they started chanting, Bray's gonna kill you.
Hey, 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 that's gimmick infringement.
You know, that was the last thing chant that the WWE crowd didn't take from TNA. We already got the This Is Awesome chants, so it's about time they took that one over. But I'll go around and get your guys' opinions on this matchup. I didn't even say why. I believe the Wyatt family got the victory with the Sister Abigail. I can't remember who it was on. I think it was Big E.
Big E.
Yeah.
Steven?
Awesome match. And it was mainly due to fan participation. Had this have been with any other fans, I think it would have been a good match at best. And it just goes to show that a good match can become a great match if you have the right fans involved in it. And it was just a lot of fun. It was fast paced, a whole bunch of chaos going on, and it was. I love it when the baby faces are firing up and they're getting booed, and then the heel cuts them off and they get cheered. Bizarro Land, as they'd call it if there was in Canada. So I fucking loved it. Really fun, and just kept my mood up after the awesome opening segment.
Miguel?
With the exception of one specific thing that stood out for me, I was surprised that this matchup felt as ordinary as it should, considering how many big names are in there. I mean, you've got Sheamus, who arguably is in the top five baby faces in the company. You've got Big E, who has had a lot of good heat on him. You know, you've got Cena, obviously, and this matchup just kind of came out of nowhere. You know, it was just, hey, next up, we've got this six-man matchup with John Cena in it. All right, okay. It wasn't the matchup that would end up getting dumped on by the fans, although I think it had the potential to. One thing, though, that I got to talk about, because this is the first time I've seen this guy in action. My God, Eric Rowan is terrible.
Yes.
That exchange between him and Sheamus was slow. It looked like the timing was off. That was awful. That was noticeably bad.
I could appreciate the ginger-on-ginger violence.
I remember there was a period of time where Mr. Wago tried to convince me that Eric Rowan was the standout member of the Wyatt family.
No, it was more to do with shitting on Luke Harper.
Yeah, he was turned off by the stain on Luke Harper's shirt.
Oh, I can understand that. That's gross. You know, everyone has these fancy new outfits for WrestleMania, and Luke Harper couldn't go out there and buy a new shirt.
Or at least use bleach.
I mean, he got a cool vest, at least, for Mania. Yeah.
You should try fucking drinking it. What?
Tony, here's your opinion of this match.
You know, I really liked the crowd's participation in this, and that totally saved it from being something that could have been a lot worse. It's like what Wago had said, it's so much more fun when the crowd can get into a match, and that can turn a match that isn't really the best with the best caliber people working together into something that is entertaining. And that's what this ended up being. If you would have just put these guys in an empty arena, I'm sure everybody would be shitting on it a whole lot more. But the fact that the crowd could get into this and we could have these funny chants and all that, that made this whole entire segment worth the while. And I am really curious to see what people backstage would have thought, because even Big E wasn't getting cheered, and it wasn't because of the whole, well, we just don't like John Cena. This was clearly pro-Wyatt family. Now, Bray Wyatt mostly got the cheers out of this whole thing, but there was one spot where Big E got, I forget what move it was, but he did some kind of a move, and I think it was on Eric Rowan.
Yeah, it was doing like the backbreakers like three times or something like that.
Something, whatever it was some kind of like feat of strength, and the crowd popped for it. So that goes to show the people backstage that they're like, hey, you do something cool, they're still going to like it. They're not just being dicks for the sake of being dicks. But as soon as it goes back down to like Sheamus or something like that, they're just like, ah, fuck you, we're like the Wyatt family. I thought that this was really cool.
I honestly like the match. I think it still would have been a fine match no matter what the fans' participation was. I really liked Luke Harper in this match because he did this awesome face slam thing that I'd never seen him done before, so I thought that was cool. And also, he did his little jump through the ropes, his little Daniel Bryan impression. I thought, you know, that was pretty cool as well. I thought it was a good match for what it was. And, you know, Bray Wyatt, just for some reason, he knows how to tell a good fucking story in the ring. Who would have thought that? And just imagine, just like half a year ago, we just shat all over Bray Wyatt and the Wyatts, and look at them now. They're fantastic, and everyone loves them. Who would have thought? Who would have thought something like that would have happened?
Well, at that point, they were shit.
Okay, except
I'll
what?
Stand
okay.
By that.
Okay, except what much happened? Okay, that was because they had Kane to work with for their first match. I think that was part of the issue. You can't really expect huge improvement like that in a few months. They need good people to work with, and I'm really glad that they got better because if they could not get this to work, this would just be that would have just been unused talent that was just used wrong.
I still stand by my statement, but I don't think Bray Wyatt's all that good in the ring. I think he's solid, but nothing more than that. And let's face it, if the people weren't into Bray Wyatt's character as much as they were at WrestleMania, that match would have stunk up the joint.
Well, I like the match though. I'm not a big fan of Bray Wyatt's character still. I think what? It's interesting. I'm not 100% sold on him like you guys are. It's just something in my mind, in the back of my mind. Just
true.
Like, I don't
he's
know.
Got the fans singing. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's
yeah,
awesome.
Dude. While swinging their hands in the air.
Yeah, I know. And I
how
did
can
like
you not get into it.
It's not that. It's just that I don't know what. Just something just doesn't make me want to like latch onto him, and it's probably because of what happened when they first came onto the stage, and it was just kind of like they're not as good as what people hyped them up to be, and you know the whole Husky here. Yeah, first impressions are important, and you know I know you guys got over that, but I'm still a little hesitant. I do like him. I'm just not probably as sold on him.
You'll understand
you guys
when you're older.
Honestly, yeah, though, to Drew's credit, he is right. First impressions are important. Bray Wyatt's first bit of his career has not been very impressive. I think a win over John Cena last night may have made up for that. So I don't know what they're going to do. This loss on the biggest show of the year, he's going to have a lot to make up for now between the weak start and that. So I don't know what they're going to be planning on doing with him going into the beginning of the 2014 season. But
well, he had a good fucking start tonight.
This is very, very true. But let's move on to someone who I think may be a distant relative to Bray Wyatt, in fact. We got a little promo for a future star coming onto the show.
Payton, mm-hmm. Are you a believer?
Oh, I believe. I believe and believe and believe. In fact, I don't stop believing.
Bow now, now.
these little vignettes we were getting were impressive. They were all about like motivational bits and eagles flying in the air and people running uphill and just fantastic. Payton. And it all finished with "You gotta believe" and just a quick little snippet of Bo Dallas standing there. What's up, Drew?
No, I was going to tell you, when I first saw this, because I thought it was a commercial for like, you should come visit Michigan or
right?
Something like that. I thought it was one of those things at first.
Actually, I thought it was like an antidepressant pill thing. Like, ask your doctor if Flacinase is right for you.
I thought the exact same thing. I was like, oh man, good. I could go upstairs and go to the bathroom or something real quick. And then I see Bo Dallas's face and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
I thought they were absolutely tremendous. But let me go around asking you guys, get closer opinions about them. Miguel, you sound like you're the one of the most excited people here for it.
I'm in. I'm all in. I dug this whole promo. I mean, just the whole setup, it seeming like a cross between a state vacation video and a prescription drug video, and then all of a sudden you just see Bo Dallas's goofy smile with the great Bo leave. I was like, all right, I'm sold. I want to see this guy. And they've got a plan for him. They're not just gonna bring him up and just do nothing with him. It seems like they get it, and they're gonna run with his whole gimmick that he's got with on NXT. And I'm really happy to see that. I'm in. You know.
I know indeed.
I'm a believer.
Drew?
Oh, I'm all in on this as well. As soon as I saw Bo Dallas, just in the back of my head, I'm like, oh man, Peyton's going to be so happy when he sees it. It's all high and mighty on him last year. And I was just like, oh God, this is going to be fantastic. gosh. I just want to know what they're going to do with him when he first shows up. But I'm sold on that. If his whole thing is just to be this smiling guy who's supposed to motivate other people, that this is perfect if that's the case.
It's like a combination of early Kurt Angle and WWE DDP.
Hmm. Yeah. You guys want, except without the gold medals, of course, and the yoga. But yeah, of course.
Fucking Drew.
Steven?
If you thought that I was going to support Bo, I've got some depressing news for you. I am not a Bo leaver.
Boo!
What are you a bro leaver?
What? As in,
like bronies?
Certainly ain't Zack Ryder. I thought that's the route you was going, but
Zack Ryder.
Ignoring the fact that he might be the ugliest looking wrestler in the WWE, I mean, what the fuck's wrong with his face?
Well, he's no Christian.
I don't know. I'd put him below Christian. I don't enjoy his in-ring work, and I don't enjoy his promos. I can appreciate their video packages. They were funny, but the best thing Bo Dallas ever did was lose to Adrian Neville.
Tony?
You know what's pretty funny about this whole situation? When Bo Dallas first popped up, who was he feuding with? Wade Barrett. Now, Bad News Barrett is a gimmick where he gives people bad news and he's kind of depressing and all that, and he's getting cheered. And Bo Dallas is going to come and get booed, giving people actual positive reinforcement. I think that this is amazing. This is awesome. I mean, I don't really follow Bo Dallas enough, and I don't watch NXT enough to really know too much about his in-ring work and anything like that. But the sheer idea behind this is interesting to me, so I'm 100% for it. And I hope that he doesn't get swallowed up by a bunch of the, I guess you could kind of call it like the rush after WrestleMania, where they throw a whole bunch of people out there, see if anything sticks, and then drop everybody else. Hopefully there is a plan in place for all these people.
I want to see that ugly little fucking rat get Cesaro swinged.
Oh, no, man, he's going to get pushed to the top. That's your next Intercontinental Champion, or U.S. Champion.
I believe you are correct.
So wait, you say push to the top Intercontinental Champion, you mean he's going to win a title and fade into obscurity?
Yeah, you're right on that regard. I forgot, the Intercontinental title doesn't mean anything anymore.
So when we came back from that commercial break, we had a mixed tag team matchup with Fandango and Summer Rae against Santinbo and Emma.
You're trying too hard.
This was pretty short and pretty much a waste of time, other than getting to see Fandango's fabulous new attire. He looked like a peacock. Pretty cool. Emma gets the victory with the Emma Lock on Summer Rae. The Emma Lock, other than the dancing she does to fall back into it, is pretty vicious looking. Between her doing that, and you got Paige with her submission finisher, and Natty doing the sharpshooter, especially the one she did on Melina that one time. Oh my goodness. It's great to see all these submissions coming from the Divas, and not just any old submissions, but really vicious looking submissions, like submissions that look better than the ones the men use.
Yeah, maybe Emma can show John Cena how to lock in a good submission.
Yeah, I was going to say, the guys aren't setting a very good example other than Daniel Bryan.
We'll get your guys' opinions about this short matchup, Tony.
Worst match of the night. Ridiculous. Oh, how did they end up going from Triple H saying, you guys gave up on Fandango, he's a good talent, he's a good kid, he could be an A-plus star, let's have him get squashed after WrestleMania. I didn't like this at all. And you know another thing that bothers me about this? Emma has a couple good moves, but God damn it, is so much of the rest of her character annoying. And the names of her moves. I love puns, but these are awful. Dilemma? Okay, I'll be down with that. Emma Lock? Well, that's just her name and lock. And the other one, what was this fucking Vegemite sandwich or something?
What?
Yeah,
whatever the fuck it was goddamn awful. And that little stupid train dance thing she does before that, that's terrible. I'm not a fan of Emma at all, whether it's the dancing or pretty much everything else. So it kind of was a shame that Summer Rae got her ass completely handed to her and that Fandango did nothing but tag Summer Rae in.
You talk about all those puns using her name. It's very reminiscent how Edge was early in his career, where he just had like six moves with Edge just thrown into a name.
At least they were a little bit better. I mean, Education has more thought behind it than Emma Locke.
Yeah, Education, Educator. There's a few Educator ones.
I thought that was a good one.
Yeah, Educator is perfectly fine. I mean, I would love that kind of a name for a finisher for different people. But Emma Locke, I mean, you might as well just be like, oh, Rusev. His finisher is the Rusev Lock. And here's the Rusev Kick. And here's the Rusev Punch. And...
Well, Daniel Bryan just uses the Yes Lock.
Yeah, but at least that's not the Bryan Lock.
Well, before it was called the LaBelle Lock, but I'm guessing they probably had some issues with Jean LaBelle or something.
Yeah.
That no one knows who Jean LaBelle is.
Indeed. Miguel, what'd you think about this matchup?
I expected nothing from this matchup, and that's exactly what I got. As soon as I saw Santino come out, I'm like, this is going to be a short comedy matchup. And that's exactly what it was, with the exception of seeing Emma do her Emma Lock, which, like you said, is probably one of the more entertaining submission moves and just really vicious looking. This was just this was basically a bathroom break.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Oh, no. It wasn't an induced bathroom break. I already had to use it beforehand. I was just waiting for a good time to do it. It didn't make me need to immediately use the restroom.
I wasn't even referring to that. I just meant, anytime there's a Divas match on, it's like, oh, it's a bathroom break.
I thought you meant the Triple H nonsense from last
week. Oh, we don't need to relive that.
Hey, don't shit all over this match.
No. We've got a matchup to do for that later.
Okay, well, there was a match, and it's gone. There was some Fandangoing, at least. At least we know Fandangoing still exists after WrestleMania. You know, I guess that's kind of cool. But, and it's gone.
Wago?
Don't know, didn't watch, don't care.
Oh, that's the spirit.
All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be having the phone lines opened up for you to call in whenever you'd like. We'll be back after this.
Hey, 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 Dace Tattoo Nation, it is I, Chris, the Dace Man Dace, host of the Dace Man Show, checking in with you guys to let you know of a new podcast debuting April 13th called For Real Movie Club here on Mega Powers Radio. Join me for the month of April as I moderate a panel of four movie buffs and we discuss Mel Brooks' film. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's April 13th. Tune your radios to Mega Powers Radio, and ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
All right, the break is over. Welcome back to the MPR Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. We are going to be opening up the phone line so you, the listener, can call into the show, get your opinions about the Raw after Mania or WrestleMania itself. Area code 760-512-7247. Also, click the Skype icon. It'll get you in the phone lines as well. We also have the chat room open up. You guys are awfully quiet tonight. Let's see if we can get things rustled up on there. In fact, we just had someone speak up. Vix, as I always like to call him. I am so afraid that Daniel Bryan's run is going to be like Benoit's 10 years ago.
You mean he's
going
to kill someone?
What? Who's Benoit? What are you talking about?
Oh, goodness. Of course it had to go there.
Well, what the fuck? Oh. He said he killed someone. There's nobody to look at me. Jeez.
Well, speaking of dead people, we had Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman coming out to discuss how Brock Lesnar ended the streak last night at WrestleMania. And yes, I am apologizing if this is your first time hearing it. The streak is over. 21-1 is The Undertaker's record at WrestleMania now. Honestly, I'm still coming to grips with this. It was just a moment of absolute shock. They were showing reaction shots all throughout the crowd of people with their hands glued to their head, and that was me. My hands did not come down for a long, long time. God bless those girls who had to go out there and wrestle after that. Could not have possibly been easy, and people were already going to be shitting on that match as it was, and they have to go out there after that.
Well, to be fair though, that was a matchup people were going to dump on already, and they needed a rest up because what was the matchup that was after that?
Yeah, they needed a recovery period. I think it was the main event.
Oh, they definitely needed to get the fans, you know, back to square one before they just throw something else at them because yeah, there was no way if they'd have gotten the main event after that, the main event would have died a death.
So. I don't know if there was really anything of specific note said while Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar were out there. We don't know exactly what Brock Lesnar's future is going to be going forward, but I think it's safe to say he can do pretty much anything. It's a shame that Brock Lesnar, when he came in, he had that loss against John Cena, and he even had another loss against Triple H. But being the man who broke the streak, I think, completely nullifies that. Brock Lesnar in a position to come in, get a title shot anytime he wants, do pretty much anything anytime he wants. This guy is immortal at this point. But go around, get your guys' quick thoughts if you want to talk about just a quick reaction to the streak. Once again, as I said, we'll talk more about that on Smack Talk this week. But, I mean, fresh reactions, because this is all still so new. This is, I guess it's more than 24 hours now, but very, very close to when this all happened. Miguel?
I thought the Paul Heyman promo was a tad bit too long. I'm not saying it was bad, but you could have trimmed off maybe 2 or 3 minutes off of it. I mean, I respect the crowd play that Paul Heyman does, but it went on a little bit too long. I do like the fact that Brock was just basically just sitting there, just mugging for the camera the entire time. I thought that was pretty funny. All in all, the whole situation, I probably might as well say it now because I probably won't be there for a smart out moment when you guys go in depth on this. I'm okay with The Undertaker losing at WrestleMania. I never want to see him wrestle again. That, to me, I'm okay with him losing, but that's it. I have no desire to ever see the Undertaker get back in the ring. To me, he's done. To me, that was the last selling point for The Undertaker, was the streak. And now that he's gone, what else is there to do? He's not going to get another world title shot. He's wrestled every main eventer there is. You know, you could say, oh, he can wrestle a Sheamus or a Ryback or a Bray Wyatt. I don't care about those matchups. Those matchups do nothing for me. You know, The Undertaker is on that upper echelon that you really need a special kind of main eventer to put him against for it to really be believable. And I think that was it. Brock Lesnar was the last big guy. Aside from Sting, but I don't even want to see him come back for Sting. I don't want to see him again. You know, if he goes away and doesn't come back for another 5 years, I'll be happy.
There's no order to that Sting match if the streak is not on the line.
Oh, and especially with the Cena matchup. Like that was the whole aura of that matchup. Like Taker versus Cena, yeah, that's a nice little main event, but the whole aura of it was, you know, is John Cena the guy to beat the streak? Which makes me laugh. Can you imagine if it would have been John Cena this year going against The Undertaker and The Undertaker decided, hey, you're breaking my streak? Oh, my God. The internet, I think, would have collapsed.
Which makes him the perfect candidate to have been that guy. If you're going to piss him off, you might as well piss him off the biggest you can.
That would be the ultimate John Cena heel turn we've all been waiting for.
It happens, and you just hear a giant rumbling just like before an earthquake.
Friend of the show, Joseph Stallman, was telling me, actually, after that matchup last night, people were walking out of the building.
And I believe
didn't even care about the rest of the show.
I believe it's pronounced Joseph. Who the fuck spells Joseph with two H's?
Two H's?
Two H's.
That's how you pronounce it. English.
Not triple H's, but double H's. Stephen, what did you think about this?
I was in shock and... for a while, and I still am. It hasn't really sunk in. And I'm not exactly mad like a lot of people are, but I'm just disappointed. I never wanted it to end, and it has, so there's not much more to say than that. I'm really, really fucking disappointed. And the only good thing, as I mentioned, that we get out of it is the Sting discussion's gone. And there's still people clinging to that, by the way, saying, oh, but maybe you can say you can't retire, you have one more match with me. The only thing more pathetic than that is the people that fought the, Undertaker losing last night was a shoot, Jeff Krupp.
God, yes.
So, in general, I'm with Miguel. I don't want to see him wrestle again. That's it for me. It was a shitty match to go out on, but that's it for me. Thank you, Undertaker, but I'm done.
We got Vix in the chat room on The Undertaker. This left a bad taste in my mouth. If WWE knew that this was the last match for Taker, they should have put him on last. I love Brian, but Undertaker should have went on last. Any guys agree with that?
Hell no. No. You do not want that to be the final moments of WrestleMania 30.
Well,
leaving on such a sour note with people leaving the arena pissed and gobsmacked And plus, the match was fucking awful. It shouldn't have gone any more than 10 minutes.
Okay, I didn't think the match was that bad. If you were okay, honestly, if any of you guys expected him to put on a clinic, you guys are idiots. It's Brock Lesnar, who can't work without a stipulation nowadays. What'd you expect?
Yeah, here's the thing, though. He's had a good track record.
Okay, look who he's worked with. He's worked with CM Punk, Triple H, John Cena. Those guys are good. Undertaker's almost 50 years old, and he's wrestled once a year.
Who's also had a good track record whilst wrestling at 50 years old.
Yeah, except he's wrestled with guys who could carry him. Brock Lesnar's not the type who could carry people.
Either way, it's just more concrete evidence that shouldn't have gone on last.
Well, if I could also just butt in, there's also the whole deal that Undertaker got injured very early on in this match, and that could have played a part in him not being able to perform at the level that we've grown to know him at WrestleMania. Knowing that this was his last match, he would have wanted to put it all on the line there, and I just don't think he was able to.
If there's one solace that I will say in terms of the idea of putting this match on last, it probably would have allowed the pop that Daniel Bryan got at the end of the pay-per-view to be a lot bigger, because I do think that the fact that the Undertaker matchup was so closely behind the main event did take the wind out of a lot of fans. You know, in terms of that Daniel Bryan win, it's kind of like such a sharp contrast that I think some people – I don't think they got the full meat of that reaction that they would have gotten with Daniel Bryan winning had that not been the case beforehand. Had you switched it around, I think it probably would have been an even bigger pop, but it would not have been worth putting on that matchup last. That matchup would have killed WrestleMania. I mean, it would have overshadowed Bryan winning, but for all the wrong reasons.
And you see what happens when we get what we want? They take away the streak.
Oh, well, Tony, what did you think about this segment and this whole ordeal?
I have far too much to say. Stay tuned for Smack Talk. That's what I'll say.
All right.
Well, the good promoter he is.
All right, so we'll move on to...
Hey!
Fuck you, Drew.
You didn't talk to me about it.
Moo!
Go ahead, Drew.
I don't know if I want to say anything now.
Good, move on. Drew. You had your chance, Drew.
Move on.
I just wanted to say a few things. I don't fucking care. I don't fucking care, Time Cow. So anyways, it's like this. I am not as upset as you guys at the streak was going to end, because I didn't really care if the streak ended for the most part, because I knew it was going to end eventually. And I just want to say Brock Lesnar ending the streak makes the most sense out of everything, because if you're going to end the streak, you might as well end it with a beast with Brock Lesnar. And I don't give a fuck. I am so glad I picked him up in fantasy, because that's the most clutch thing anyone's ever done this year. That was so awesome. Okay, here's my reaction. When it happened, I was like, what? The streak just ended? And I'm kind of in that moment where you guys were talking about, where you're just like shocked, like, oh my god, did this just happen? And then in the back of my head, I was like, oh shit, I just Brock Lesnar the hell out of it. And I was just like, yes. I was like jumping around my room like, oh, I'm such a badass. I don't give a fuck about you, Time Cal. Let me finish. So it's like this. I was so pumped after this.
We're going to send Kane out to cut you off next.
You know, I probably would hate the match like Steven did, but honestly, I was so pumped when I realized Brock Lesnar won and I had him. I was just kind of like, it's actually not that bad. I mean, fuck, who cares?
Yeah, but do you love your mother?
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I really love my mother.
Because Peyton loves your sister.
Oh, goodness. We should not be making such jokes on the air.
Yeah, asshole.
Well, we had a tag team title matchup next between Randy Orton and Batista, former Evolution members, together once again to go against the Usos. However, the matchup did not have an actual conclusion. I was actually back and forth between my kitchen getting some food ready. From what I saw, it looked like Orton and Batista just beat them into the outside, got a double count out, and that was the end of the match. Is that all it was?
Yep, that's all it was.
All right, does anyone have anything they want to throw out about this, or can we just move on?
Well, no, the only thing really to mention was that the crowd started doing, like, their random chants. Like, I heard a Y2J chant during this, but besides that, that's about it.
Only Justin commentators. Roberts chant.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
What a shit powerbomb. I mean, if you're going to do it, just fucking do it.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the best powerbomb I've ever seen.
Oh, he was afraid he was going to split his tights.
dude, who the fuck cares at this point? His ass.
Yeah, we've all seen his ass already.
Yeah, who cares?
Well, I like how in a lot of promos recently we've been seeing the actual WWE mentality come through, like when they were just telling the fans, like, hey, fuck you, you are going against what we want you to do, and making fun of CM Punk and all that. I wonder if this was another instance of that, where Orton and Batista, when they announced that they were going to have this match, they were just like, I don't want the fucking tag titles. There should have been a spot there where Stephanie or somebody should have been like, hey, the tag team championship means something. And instead they were like, look, I know, but but we got to fill some kind of spot here. So just go beat the shit out of these people who are not on your level.
Yeah. Well, let's move on. Our next matchup, we had a surprise return with Rob Van Dam.
One of a kind. Woo!
Against Damian Sandow. This was just a typical exhibition for Rob Van Dam. You see one Rob Van Dam match, you've seen this matchup.
Poor Damian Sandow. It's sad at this point, man. Former Money in the Bank to this.
What do you mean? RVD's a former world champion and Money in the Bank.
Yeah, but how many weeks has he jobbed straight? I mean, it's just I'm actually starting to get a little worried about the guy. I'm wondering if he's going to end up getting the Ezekiel Jackson treatment.
Who just
released?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, Ezekiel Jackson got released?
Yeah, just recently announced.
Yeah, he just announced it today that his contract expired yesterday.
Oh, well, that's a shame. You'll be missed.
Because right here ain't domination.
Voice Global Fighting Wrestling, whatever the heck that Jeff Jarrett promotion is.
I don't believe any of us here are very big fans of Rob Van Dam. In fact, I believe most of us consider him close to least favorite wrestler. Right?
I love Rob Van Dam.
Alberto Del Rio. So we're just gonna keep moving along rather than talking any more about Rob Van Dam.
Oh man,
I thought we were gonna talk about him for the whole fucking show.
Oh well, if you insist, Tony, I guess we could do that.
Okay, fuck, so RVD. Let me tell you my favorite Rob Van Dam moment from ECW 1998.
No. My favorite ECW moment with Rob Van Dam had to be back in, like, 1991 when he was on Raw that one time with Ted DiBiase. Everyone has looked at his wiki page and saw
it. Okay, Ultimate Drew, fuck off.
Well, I don't know. You guys got anything you want to say as far as being excited about Rob Van Dam being back?
Huge RVD, Mark. I'm glad he's back. And now that we don't have two titles, he can't win anything.
Can we time cow his career?
Honestly, he looked in shape, at least. Better than what it was when his first return.
I'll say what I said in our chat. I hope he wrestles an hour match with Alberto Del Rio, so Tony has to fucking cover it.
I've always liked Rob Van Dam. You know, he might not be the best wrestler, but, you know, I've always liked him just because he entertains me. He might be a spot junkie, but hey, he's a good spot junkie.
He's a junkie.
Okay. I said, you're just,
He's a solid upper mid-carder. I mean, I can't really say much. I mean, he's the same RVD he was 10 years ago. You know, just a little bit slower, obviously, due to age. You can't really say anything bad about the guy because he's still a decent enough worker, but you can't really say anything amazing about him. He's just kind of a very reliable spot filler.
Tony?
Bleh.
I feel you on that one. Well, from the continues with Rey Mysterio Jr., but the mood soon rises when we finally get the in-ring return of Bad News Barrett. Yes, it's not just going to be sitting on a podium anymore. Finally, back in the ring, and my gosh, did this crowd love this guy. Like, you would have thought he was the biggest babyface in the company, and he came out there. Anytime Rey Mysterio even got the littlest bit of offense, crowd booed on him, like almost as bad as they were booing on him at the Royal Rumble this year. Loved what they did with Bad News Barrett in this match, just taking out Rey Mysterio, putting him in a secure spot to continue going through the rest of this new season, as we keep saying. I think Wade Barrett, or should I say Bad News Barrett, is going to be a player both on the mic and now in the ring. Tony, what'd you think about it?
I love that Rey Mysterio didn't get the pop here. There's such a bigger pop for Wade Barrett, and that always kind of makes me feel awesome because I'm not a huge fan of Mysterio either, and I do like Wade Barrett. So everything from the Bullhammer to the Winds of Change, anytime that they would pop for Wade Barrett over Mysterio and boom Mysterio, it had got a smile on my face. I thought that that was awesome. Good to see Wade Barrett back in the ring. Good to see Mysterio losing. Good to see the fans behind Wade Barrett. Awesome. Loved it.
You know, I liked it. It was, I thought it was random that he returned, but hey, at least he returned. You know, everyone here loves Barrett, and hopefully they don't bury him or like to just drop him like they have the past 20 times when they're like, oh man, Barrett's gonna be something. You know, it's not that impressive beating a Booyaka Booyaka 69 nowadays, but hey, it's a good return. It was kind of like an exhibition match along the lines of what Rob Van Dam had earlier.
Miguel?
It was what it was. I just hope they actually do something with Wade Barrett. You know, we've seen these kind of start and stop pushes for him. I really want to see him go towards something and not just be stuck in this Bad News Barrett gimmick. It's kind of been lackluster as is, nowhere near as funny as it was on the JBL and Cole show. But, you know, I really want to see something come out of it because I do think the guy has potential. I still do.
Evidently, you did not watch the Hall of Fame this week.
No, I didn't. I was working.
Bad News Barrett was on point.
So was Carlito, from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Carlito just wants a fucking jump.
And Mr. Holwego.
I remember us joking before saying that Barrett's gimmick eventually is just going to be him running around going, boom! That's pretty much what it was tonight. So, hey, they've been listening to Smart Cat Moments. I've said a while back, but I think this has potential to be a babyface gimmick, and I think they should turn him. And they've got the perfect opportunity because Rey Mysterio got a heel reaction tonight. The only thing that would have been better than that bullhammer on the top rope is if Rey had his old entrance where he exploded out of the stage and caught the bullhammer that way. So, I fucking loved this, and it's nice to see a guy from the UK get some love.
Oh, and I didn't even realize at this time, but we had another debut really after that. I mean, we have a lot of returns and debuts directly in a row. This one was NXT star Alexander Rusev. We've been seeing him come out standing on the pedestal. Yes, introduced by his valet, manager, I don't know what you want to call her, Lana, what do they call her? The Ravishing Russian?
Yeah, that's a good nickname. I like that.
Mm-hmm. This was against Zack Ryder. Good for Zack Ryder getting to be on the Raw after Mania. I'm sure that was exciting for him. Very quick squash match. Alexander Rusev wins with the Camo Clutch, which is he is calling the Accolade. Which, hey, at least he's not calling it the Rusev Clutch, right?
Yeah. Well, it would be the Rusev Lock. There you go.
Through that. Well, this was fine, I suppose. You got to do more with this guy eventually. I hope this doesn't end up being like Ryback, where he just kept facing jobbers for like 6 months before we finally saw him doing real matches. What'd you guys think about our debut for Alexander Rusev? Miguel?
I was unimpressed. I mean, the whole foreigner evil heel gimmick is so dated. I'm just tired of it. We've seen it so many times before. I mean, we saw it with What's-His-Nuts, the Russian that was around before.
Kozlov.
I don't even remember. Yeah, Kozlov. Yeah, Kozlov. You know, we saw it with him. It went nowhere. It just I'm just not impressed. He's a big guy, but he doesn't have an impressive physique. And yeah, his mouthpiece is my kind of woman, but at the same time, I can't stand her talking. Like, as soon as she opened up her mouth, I was just like, oh, this is going to be painful. And it was. You know what? If they have plans for this guy and they really push this guy hard, maybe I'll get used to him and maybe I'll start to turn around on him. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Ryback when they first started him, but they won me over after a while. So maybe if they keep pushing this guy strong, he'll end up doing something. But I see this guy being a comedy character in 2 years.
Vix, date, Mr. Dane. Actually, he wants me to call him by his actual name. I hope Rusev is more like Umaga and not like Kozlov and Sylvester Turkey.
I preferred Umaga.
Sylvester Turkey.
Sylvester Turkey was
He was with Elijah. He was with Elijah Burke and did nothing.
He very early in the ECW.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember that name at all.
Neither do I.
You might remember Sylvester Turkai from such things as jobbing.
You just blew my mind. Who the hell was that guy?
They dropped him quick when they saw Elijah Burke was a bigger star.
So he was like the first Bam Neely?
Yeah, at least pretty I remember much. Who Bam Neely was. Sylvester Turkey. I don't know who the hell this guy is.
Turkai.
How bad is that for Sylvester when people remember Bam Neely over him?
Oh, Drew, what'd you think about our debut for Mr. Rusev?
It was okay. I'm not a big fan of the guy, so, you know, it's kind of like, let's see what they're able to do with him. It's all, promo-wise, it's all up to his manager right now, so. In-ring, for 2-minute matches, he's fine. He's a big man, but I just want to see what they're able to do a few months down the road from now.
Mr. Juego.
To put it into words of one of my favorite MMA fighters, Rev, I am not impressed by your performance, and I am looking forward to you getting released in the future.
Okay.
You know, these kind of squash matches really don't do too much for me. When they introduce somebody and they beat the crap out of people who lose every match, it's supposed to just kind of warm you up to the fact that they are supposed to be awesome. But when you beat Zack Ryder now, it doesn't mean anything. And when he beats JTG or Yoshitatsu or Curt Hawkins or whoever the case may be next week, even if it's a Darren Young or anybody who's lower than like the Kofi Kingston level, fuck, even Kofi Kingston at this point, it's just not going to be anything that, you know, shakes up the system. It's not going to make me think anything different about Rusev. All the matches and all the stuff that they build up for these people are kind of pointless, and until they have an actual feud for him to get his teeth into, then I'll start actually making a judgment. But so far, from what I've seen, it's okay. And that's nothing different from what I saw at WrestleMania, or not at WrestleMania, at the Royal Rumble.
Well, that's the big problem with the WWE's mid-card, is that there's such a small divide between the main event guys and the quote-unquote jobbers that there really isn't much of a mid-card, mainly because they keep slotting people between the mid-card and the jobbers. You know, Kofi Kingston at one point was a mid-carder, now he's jobbing everybody. You know, Damian Sandow was on his way to being an upper mid-carder, now he's jobbing to everybody. You know, ADR is slowly but surely becoming a job guy. You know,
yeah, but what do you expect? They've only got 3 hours.
Oh, of course. I mean, you got to squeeze in so much between
hold on. 3 hours of Raw.
2 hours of SmackDown.
2 hours of SmackDown.
1 hour of main event.
1 hour of main event. One hour of superstars.
They've got an entire fucking network.
Yeah, how do you expect them to have so much time between, you know, plugging the WWE network and Twitter and, well, they don't plug Tout anymore, but
Scooby-Doo. I mean,
yeah, Scooby-Doo, you know, whatever latest movie that they need to release. Although that horror film with the mirror actually looks promising.
Slam City.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, speaking of promoting, we're going to take a short break to do some promotions for a show to be debuting this Sunday. So listen for a little bit of info about that.
Mel Brooks.
Hey, 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 Dace Tattoo Nation, it is I, Chris, the Dace Man Dace, host of the Dace Man Show, checking in with you guys to let you know of a new podcast debuting April 13th called For Real Movie Club here on Mega Powers Radio. Join me for the month of April as I moderate a panel of four movie buffs and we discuss Mel Brooks' films. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's April 13th. Tune your radios to Mega Powers Radio, and ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Certainly stay tuned this Sunday on Mega Powers Radio. For that, folks, let's continue our talk about this evening's Monday Night Raw events. We had another vignette for a future NXT star, and that is Mr. Adam Rose. He is a partier. He loves to dance around to the music. He goes around all over in a party bus. If you see this guy in NXT, he has what I think is one of the absolute best entrances of any performer in that organization, possibly even throughout the entire company now that we have The Undertaker out of the picture. Really look forward to this guy debuting, and I'm a little surprised that he was the next guy to be called up along with Bo Dallas. I think there's a couple other names you could have went with, but who am I to judge? I'm sure they know what they're doing. But let's get your guys' opinions about Adam Rose. Tony?
I want to see more of the party bus, and I want to see some more NXT stars in that, including Mojo Rawley on the party bus, so he can debut his new phrase, I don't get high, I am high. You know, I'm a little bit hesitant to think that this is a good idea, and it's just my skeptical nature. It's not any, like, actual evidence behind it or anything. I don't know anything about Adam Rose. I've never seen him do his entrance or wrestle. I've only seen a little bit of Leo Kruger, and I wasn't a big fan of that character. So I'm completely fresh when it comes to Adam Rose, but maybe you guys can fill me in here. Is he a heel the same as Bo Dallas and Alexander Rusev are?
No, he's a babyface.
He has a baby face? Good. Okay, because if they would have had all three heels come in, then I think that that would have been a huge mistake. As a baby face, there's a spot for him, I think.
Very true. I didn't even think about that as far as how that was going to be balancing things out. Also, consider we got Paige coming in, too, which that just kind of spoiled the next second we're going to be talking about. We'll talk about her in a second. Miguel, what did you think about Adam Rose?
I like it. I dig gimmicks like this. I like the whole faux Russell Brand vibe that it's getting off. I do wonder, though, the gimmick is relatively new. I mean, they just gave it to him maybe 2-3 weeks ago. I wonder if that might be too little time for him to be brought up to the main roster, maybe a month or month and a half, maybe 2 months more with this character to kind of really hone it in. I mean, it took a while for Bray Wyatt to get moved from NXT to the main roster after he got his gimmick. You know, same thing with Emma, same thing with all these other wrestlers. I don't know. I mean, it could work. I mean, if WWE really, you know, indulges this gimmick, kind of like what it seemed like they were doing with, you know, the Funkasaurus until they gave up on that one, which I've always thought was a mistake, at least giving up on that gimmick. If they keep this one going, it could really get over, same way that that Fandango did. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, Leo Kruger is a solid in-ring performer. I just don't know about this, you know, if he can get over this Adam Rose gimmick.
Drew?
I like it, but I don't know if it's going to be as good as the DiBiase posse.
Wago.
If you change Adam Rose's music, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah, I don't like it, the one he's coming out with now, as much as I like when he came out the first week. Which I understand, that's a licensed song. Pay the freaking money. You're not paying In Living Color anymore for Cult of Personality, so I think you can afford it.
Well, they don't have to pay them anymore at all. They're gonna change it back to Killswitch Engage now on the DVDs.
Really?
No, I was just saying that. But
damn,
I mean,
Miguel.
Shut up, Miguel.
He's gone. They might as well.
That would be a good scoops report. But anyway, we got a phone caller on the line. Been waiting patiently as we went through our Adam Rose talk. So let's get him on here. Calling from the 412 area code. You're on the Raw Post Show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Guys, you know who it is. It's JD in Pittsburgh.
I thought it was. I wasn't sure. Pardon me, man. It's been a crazy day. I'm a little lightheaded. What's shaking, JD, man? You're not calling from Pittsburgh. I know where you're calling from.
No. Yeah, I'm down in New Orleans, guys, at WrestleMania. I'll tell you what, though. I figured I'd call you guys in sooner. I told you guys I would get a hold of you sooner or later, but I got it. So I went to Raw tonight here in New Orleans. I went to Mania last night. It was a wild, fun time this weekend, let me tell you. It was a good weekend. I got to meet I got pictures of Jake the Snake. I got to see Ricky Steamboat. I got to see some of the NXT guys you've mentioned, like the Pages and the Jason Jordans. I mean, I even got an NXT jacket / hoodie, if you will. $50 was well worth it. But, I mean, I was at Raw tonight. Hell, yeah. We had great weather all weekend, and, of course, we'll be coming home tomorrow night. Hell, we're back to Pittsburgh. But, yeah, I figured I'd call you guys and let you know the scoop here down in New Orleans. It was a wild and crazy time, to say the least. I mean, last night when that match happened with Taker and Brock, I mean, people were still talking about it even today. I mean, Daniel Bryan was on the front page of the New Orleans papers here. I mean, it's been a wild and crazy week, to say the least, here. I'll be back here Thursday, however, and we're going home tomorrow, but it was a wild and crazy time down here this weekend in New Orleans.
Sounds like it was wild and crazy, man. Did you say you went to the Hall of Fame?
I didn't go to the Hall of Fame, unfortunately. Okay. Me and my buddies didn't get to go, but we went to Mania last night. We went to Access Friday night. We ran into Jake Snake Friday afternoon in the quarter. Like I said, my buddy got a lot of autographs from AJ Tamina, Paul Heyman, JR, Larry Sabisco, Lanny Poffo. I got a couple pictures of Vicky Guerrero, Hacksaw, and Tower Finkel. I didn't shake hands with anybody, but I did talk to JR for a couple seconds briefly, but I was more focused on the NXT area they had at Access. I was watching a lot of the young up-and-coming superstars, and just I was blown away with someone like the Adrian Nevilles and the Corey Graves. I heard Corey Graves got hurt. I was looking to see Sami Zayn, but you mentioned the NXT guys already, like the Paige, the Bo Dallas, the Adam Roses. I mean, I was really surprised tonight they gave Paige the title her first night in. I was just shocked when that happened tonight.
Well, geez, man, you're talking about shocking things, man. What about last night at WrestleMania? The end of the streak. You couldn't have picked a better WrestleMania to have attended, man. I feel so cheated. I went to WrestleMania last year. Barely anything happened. We got to see closure to the John Cena Rock storyline. Oh, goody.
Oh, yeah. Man,
last night's show was so much better.
Can you imagine if CM Punk had been the one to end the streak last year? Basically, the internet would have looked like that picture of Stan once he finds the computer after the internet goes out. Just covered in jizz.
See, the thing with Punk was, I mean, everyone said Saturday night, however, before Rock and Austin got here, however, everyone thought Punk was going to fly in Sunday, like yesterday morning or today to Raw and do something, however, along with Sting. I don't know now with the whole Taker-Lesnar thing, does Sting say finally, hey, I had my chance, but you know what, I'm finally going to hang it up? Does he say right now, officially, I'm done, I'm hanging it up, how I had my chance to end the streak next year? I mean, everyone talked about that was happening. Some people thought if it wasn't going to happen next year with Taker, everyone thought in 2 years, like a Roman Reigns or a Bray Wyatt. But they finally, like you said, they felt they got cheated last night, how when Lesnar was the one that ended the streak. And the thing was, when it happened, though, I mean, me and the crowd and the whole crowd was just like thinking, did that just really freaking happen? Did that really happen? I mean, it took a couple seconds to sink in, and also when they flashed the 21-1 on the screen, I was like, oh, my God.
It wasn't real until you saw that.
Heard out here. What's that?
It wasn't real until you saw that on the screen or heard the guy announce it there. It was not real until then.
Yep. We were in the 600 level, sitting up in the 600 level of the Superdome for that last night, and we had good seats looking at the ring there.
The Superdome? I thought it was in the Silverdome.
Silverdome, Superdome, yeah. But no, I mean, like I said, we had good seats tonight for Raw, too. And like I said, about Raw tonight, however, you had the whole thing with Cesaro and Paul Heyman. When Cesaro said, I'm a Paul Heyman guy, I'm just thinking and laughing. I'm saying, oh, he's just joking probably with Zeb Coulter. He's probably not really being serious. But then when Paul Heyman came out, I was like, what the hell just happened? I mean, Cesaro to join Paul Heyman? I'm like, say it ain't so. But like I said, I'll be home tomorrow. I just wanted to call you guys from New Orleans. Like I said, we had great weather all week, except for a little bit of rain here and there. We got a chance to go to the quarter. I mean, a bunch of people, all new friends, how are a lot of people from Ireland, England, Texas. I mean, some of them said that they saw a lot of the wrestlers at the different hotels to try to get autographs from them. I mean, the McMahons were staying at the Roosevelt, I heard, down here. A lot of them were staying at the Ritz, the Hyatt, Sheridan. I mean, we didn't see any at our hotel, unfortunately, but it's been quite an experience. And like I said, I'm on my way home as of tomorrow.
Well, JD, I know you're probably tired and you probably want to get back to your festivities. Miguel, it sounds like you got a question. I want to ask him for the final thing. Go ahead, Miguel.
JD, how was Bourbon Street, man? I've always wanted to visit it. I've never gotten a chance. How much fun was it on there? Did you get a chance to hang around there?
We were there Friday, Miguel, actually, yes. And it was a lot of fun, like I said. We were there Friday, I mean, and I got a little bit on Saturdays. You saw a lot of Yes shirts, a lot of Yes in the quarter. I mean, it was crazy. We didn't go down on a Friday night, like I said. But during the day, it was something like this. We went to this one restaurant bar right on the quarter, and the bartender said, Jake the Snake's up there signing autographs for $20 a pop. So we went upstairs, and I got a picture of him on my cell phone signing an autograph. But my friend, like I said, he has the Intercontinental title belt. He got a lot of autographs on that belt, like, over the years of WrestleMania, because he's a veteran of our group. But he's met guys like Pat Patterson. But like I said, him and my buddy Friday night got to meet, like, AJ and the Wyatt and Tamina and Larry Sabisco and Poffo and Heyman and JR. It was quite an experience. Like, the access is like the baseball all-star fan fest, but it was so cool checking it out, just being there. Like I said, the only thing they didn't announce last night, however, was the attendance, and I later found out today they did announce it was 75,167 in the Superdome last night.
Oh, yeah, I missed that.
Yeah, they had that announced, and then tonight they had about 15.5, I'd say, from what I heard, 15.5, 16,000 at the arena in right next door to the Superdome for Raw. So,
well,
yeah.
JD, I am very jealous that you got to experience this weekend. One of the most historic shows in the history of the company. It was built to be the greatest WrestleMania of all time. I guess it's subjective whether it was that or not, but certainly it was an amazing show with lots of historic events. And, of course, the night after Mania, the Raw has been building a lot of mystique over the last few years, a lot to live up to, and I think they certainly did their best to deliver and did it on a lot of occasions. And you got to be there for both of that, man. Too. That was fantastic.
Yes, it was. And like I said, I'll give you my high point and low point real fast before I call tonight, and I'll talk to you guys again when I get back home next I'll call you again next Monday after Raw. The high point, low point tonight, I would have to say one of the higher points of the night was the beginning when Daniel Bryan had the whole people yes scene and Cesaro going with Paul Heyman. The low point of the night also, I would say the low point of the night, however, was Alexander Rusev. I'm just not sold on this whole thing with him and Lana at this point yet, but it'll probably take me a while to warm up to him. To me, it just reminds me of Rocky IV, the Drago, Bridget Nielsen character, and I think that's the way they're going with this character.
That'd be awesome if that's the way they went.
Bridget Nielsen's sexier than Lana. At least in that movie she was.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I just wanted to give you my two cents in and call in and check in with you guys. Like I said, I'm going to be home tomorrow night. I'll definitely talk to you again next Monday when I get back home.
All right, JD, we appreciate it. We're glad you got to make it in. Enjoy the last of your time down in New Orleans, man. It's an incredible city. I hope I get to visit there someday. Have a good night, bro. Enjoy your trip back.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next Monday night.
All right, thanks to JD. Everyone else, phone lines are still open. It's the Raw After Mania. Why aren't you talking to us? Area code 760-512-7247 is the number to get yourself in line. We're going to keep going through to the remainder of this show. We had our next bit was a speech by the Ultimate Warrior, his first time on Monday Night Raw in about, I believe it's 18 years. Incredible, that's that long ago. I mean, I remember watching back then when the Ultimate Warrior had that short return back in 1996. Oh my goodness, I feel old. Nothing of really note during the speech. It was more of just this, I'm back. I'm glad I'm in the Hall of Fame. We'll see what goes, in the future. Ultimate Warrior is going to be continuing on as an ambassador for WWE as far as what that means for him on screen. I don't know. I'm sure he'll be making sporadic appearances. You know, nothing different than what we see like a Bret Hart doing. It's great to have Warrior back in the fray and getting to see him come out there and talk once in a while. Tony?
I was a little bit disappointed. I really wanted him last night when they didn't have him out to run to the ring, and I thought maybe they'll do it tonight. And all we got was, the mask that he put on, and he started doing the Ultimate Warrior thing, and I was getting into it when he starts talking about the spirits are bleeding from the mouths of storytellers and chemtrails are poisoning people with Obamacare or whatever the fuck he was saying. But he just didn't get full Ultimate Warrior out, and then that just fell flat for me. If he would have went and done an actual full-on Ultimate Warrior promo, it would have went over much better to me.
Gail?
I'm actually surprised. I'm actually thankful that he didn't go full-on Crazy Warrior, because I was fully expecting a train wreck when he came out and started talking, but he kept it kayfabe, and he did his thing as the Ultimate Warrior, and I'll be honest, I never got a chance to see him in his mid-90s run when he came back, or his WCW run. Really, I had never seen the Ultimate Warrior do his thing on camera. So having him out there seeing that, I ate it up. I'll be honest. I was smiling from ear to ear. I got it. I understood why people hold him in such high regards. It's just he's such a character, and he's just got such a charisma to him that I was drawn in. It was really cool seeing that.
Yeah, it was just okay. I'm not I'm the youngest one. I did never get to see him wrestle. I'm kind of glad I never had to. I do think he has the coolest music in WWE, but besides that, thank God he kept it short and simple.
Couldn't give a fuck.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a big Ultimate Warrior fan, and this fucking promo stunk up the joint.
Well, good thing they didn't have Carlos Colon come out there then.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need only subtitles for that one.
What would have got me interested if Carlos Colon had come out, Ultimate Warriors music hit, and he just ran as fast as he could head first into Colon? That'd be fucking awesome.
Oh, well, we next have AJ Lee coming out with a microphone in hand saying that she is the most dominant diva after her victory last night at WrestleMania in the Vicky Guerrero Invitational. She says that not only is she the best in the division, she is the Divas division. However, she is greeted by a new challenger, NXT champion, Paige. finally making her main roster debut. I was super excited once I heard her music hit. She came out not sporting her NXT title, which I thought was kind of a shame. Should have came out still wearing that. She said she wanted to congratulate AJ Lee. However, AJ had to be the cocky little cunt that she is. Slap Paige across the face.
Hey, that's my word.
And I don't know why she would do it, but she did it. Challenged Paige to a match with the Divas title on the line. They had a fun little matchup there as far as Divas standards on Raw goes. Paige, with the surprise Paige Turner after escaping the Black Widow submission, gets the pinfall and is your new WWE Divas Champion on her first night. Only the second time in history this has ever happened. First time, of course, being Miss Gail Kim. Guys, what do you think about it? Paige, finally with us, looking freaking fantastic, and now the Divas Champion. Tony?
Nobody better to take the title off of her, but damn, did they miss an opportunity to have her hold the title. She should have came out with that NXT championship, and it would have made so much more sense because it could have been her trying to go from one champion to another, congrats, and then, you know, make a big deal of the fact that she's the first person to ever have an NXT championship and a WWE championship at the same time. That's a really big error on WWE's part, I think, but still kind of cool. Paige Turner was a little bit weak, and that's probably just jitters from the excitement and all that. I'm not as crazy about Paige as a lot of other people are, but I do like her, so I'm supportive of it. I like it.
Wiggle.
Great night for the Brits, and I didn't like how much of, well, a pussy they made her look in the way she was going backwards and forwards with AJ, I'm not ready. So I don't think it was the strongest debut other than her actually winning the title. And I assume with her not bringing out the championship, she's going to just vacate the other belt now, and maybe we'll see Ric Flair's daughter and Emma feud for it. But as far as her debut goes tonight, cool. But I think it could have been done better.
Drew?
I liked it. I'm still a big AJ Lee fan. Hopefully, honestly, I was kind of wishing that they'd make this go for, like, I don't know, what was it, like 434 days? Was that CM Punk's reign? And then have her lose it or do something stupid like that just to piss Punk off. But, you know, I thought it was cool for what it was. I don't know. You know, this is pretty much cements that if you're a member of the Total Divas or if you do nothing, then you're virtually fucking useless when it comes to the Divas title. And that's pretty much what it means.
I actually really disliked this segment. I did not like the way it was set up. I didn't understand from a kayfabe perspective why AJ would just give up her title like that for a shot, you know, give up a shot like that a day after winning it. There's no reason for it. I don't like the fact that she pretty much I wouldn't say you could see it otherwise, but I think she buried Paige in a way. I don't think Paige looks strong at all. I think it made her win look really fluky. And if you're going to do the whole first night out, you know, winning the belt thing, you got to make the person look at least a little bit credible. And I don't think Paige looked credible at all. I mean, this is one step above Santino winning the IC belt. But at least in that case, he was shown as a fan who just happened to beat, you know, whoever it was for the
Umaga.
You know, to beat Umaga for the IC belt, that was a huge shock. This was just really underwhelming for somebody who is, you know, a lot of people have been talking about as like the next big prospect in the women's division for WWE. I just didn't buy it. I think this was a really bad first impression for Paige, and hopefully she can rebound. But for me, I don't know.
All right. Well, next we have Hulk Hogan, host of WrestleMania 30, coming out to introduce us to the winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and present him with the Andre the Giant trophy, Cesaro. Yes, surprising us after not being able to win the tag team titles in the pre-show, having his partner Jack Swagger turn on him. Cesaro comes around after that, winning the 30-man Battle Royal by lifting the Big Show up off of his feet and over the top rope. An amazing feat of strength by Cesaro, instantly turning him into a star. He comes out tonight, has a trophy presented to him by Hulk Hogan. Zeb Coulter, surprisingly, still at his side, and I thought that was really weird. Well, of course, there for a reason. Zeb Coulter tries to take the mic away from him, try to take the moment away from him, but Tonio Cesaro says, No, I don't think so, Zeb. I'm not a Zeb Coulter guy. I'm a Paul Heyman guy. Out comes Paul Heyman, the new pairing, the new Paul Heyman guy, Cesaro. Crowd loves it. This is going to be an interesting dynamic when you have Paul Heyman managing Brock Lesnar, who just got probably the biggest heel moment of his career, and he's also going to have Cesaro, who's looking like he's going to be a major babyface. It's going to be an interesting little thing that Paul Heyman's going to have to play here. Tony?
That's pretty much the same thing I was thinking when this happened. I thought Cesaro was a bona fide babyface after WrestleMania, and then the announcement that he's a Paul Heyman guy completely throws that out the window. He could still get chance, but, and I'm sure he will. I mean, that's not really even up for debate. But it's going to be really odd because you're going to see people that don't want to see Paul Heyman, and they're booing him because of the Undertaker thing and Brock Lesnar, but then they're cheering the other guy. And I don't know how they're going to balance that. Clearly in this match, he is the babyface against Jack Swagger. They have Swagger come out, do more of a heel thing than Cesaro. But I don't know if that's going to blow up in their face and make this kind of one of those split crowd, let's not push him too far because we don't know where he's going kind of a situations. I don't know. Hopeful optimism, a little bit curious.
Gil?
I think this is great. It shows me that they are planning on doing something big with Cesaro, which I've been wanting them to. I'm really sick and tired of this start and stop push thing for Cesaro. Either fish or cut bait. You know, either you're going to push the guy for something or you're going to job him out. And hopefully being attached to Paul Heyman will be a boon for him. It won't be a detriment like it was with Ryback. I don't have a problem with them kind of slotting him into there as a babyface, even though he just got done managing Brock Lesnar, because I don't see them doing much with Brock until maybe SummerSlam. I do think that they have plans for him, but when you've got a guy that has such a limited schedule, you can go months and months without him really doing much, and I think that's what's going to be the case. This is going to be Paul Heyman's new thing until SummerSlam or something, and then Brock Lesnar can come back and he can break away from Cesaro, and it schedule-wise, it's all going to work out. Honestly, I get a very Bobby Heenan vibe from the fact that Paul Heyman is now with Cesaro, because it proves that Paul Heyman is just that talented of a manager that he's not saddled with just being a heel manager. He can do heel and babyface. It doesn't matter what you are, who you are, Paul Heyman will just make you look that much better.
Why didn't Bobby Brain ever manage a babyface?
I could have sworn he did. I'm not sure.
No, he never. I don't think he ever did. Jimmy Hart, like, turned babyface for a hot minute. Jim Cornette was babyface for a hot minute. I don't think Bobby the Brain was ever a babyface.
Huh.
I could be wrong. Someone out there, feel free to correct me. Call into the show, 760-512-7247. It was Brian the Brain. Yeah, where are you, Brian the Brain? If you're listening, you better call in. Drew, your thoughts about the Paul Heyman guy?
As much as I like it, I'm a little skeptical about it, mainly because of Curtis Axel and how much of a fucking fail that was. Even though Cesaro is a better wrestler and he has a better personality than Curtis Axel, it just makes me a little skeptical about it going forward. You know, I'm a little bit hesitant. Hopefully they don't fuck this up, because Cesaro has the potential to be a world champion in the next couple years. So yeah, it's going to be that, and the fact that if he's going to be face or heel or tweener going forward, this is going to keep this interesting.
Well, if the internet wasn't sucking his cock already, they're certainly going to do it now.
Way to be blunt.
So I'm all for it, though. I'm a big Paul Heyman mark and a Cesaro mark, so this is just all the better for me. And man, as soon as I saw that trophy, you just knew it was gonna get fucking smashed tonight.
Oh, yeah. You know, it looked a lot cheaper after you smashed it apart.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that Paul Heyman was still clasping onto that top part of the trophy even after it was destroyed.
I hope he keeps coming out with that the next few weeks.
That'd be fucking awesome. Yeah, it was great. I'm glad Cesaro, I'm assuming he's turned face and he's going to stay face. Though I could do with him getting rid of that fucking jacket. He looks too much like a weird version of Adam Pearce. But, Yeah, awesome.
You know, Drew actually made me think of something. He's talking about the whole Michael McGillicuddy, Paul Heyman guy fiasco. What if they had just taken Cesaro as the new Paul Heyman guy when they did that reveal? Things would be these days?
It would be Cesaro back.
He'd be successful because Cesaro has talent.
Yeah.
he would.
Seriously, though, how fucking... It's hard to believe that Curtis Axel is the son of fucking Kurt Hennig.
Well, is it that hard to believe that Ted DiBiase Jr. is the son of Ted DiBiase?
No, because yeah, sometimes the apple just falls far from the tree.
I think Ted DiBiase Jr. is fucking awesome.
I mean, look at David Flair. In fact, don't look at David Flair.
Gal, come on.
He's not the dead one. He was the one in WCW.
Yeah, they both suck.
All right, well, let's move into our main event of this evening. Triple H versus Daniel Bryan for the WWE Undisputed World Heavyweight Championship. Well, the matchup never even really gets to get started because as soon as Daniel Bryan comes down, he is attacked by Batista and Randy Orton, seeming like they're becoming very good friends. I don't know if this is a pairing we're going to be seeing going a lot or going forward. A pairing we're going to see a lot of going forward. They put the beat down on Daniel Bryan before Triple H finally starts making his way out to the ring. Oh, Kane comes out there and does something too. I don't even remember what it was. Kane's been pretty insignificant the last couple weeks. Triple H is on his way down to start the match. However, before it actually gets to happen, we are interrupted once again, but this time by Aces and Eights? Was that who it was?
No.
These guys are actually over.
No, it was the Shield who have decided to start wearing those little skull biker things over their face. I don't know if that's supposed to be a pop shot or what.
That implies that Vince actually watches TNA.
Hayden, they're the Shield. They can do what the fuck they want and you will like it.
Okay, fair enough. Well, the Hounds of Justice come down to save the day. They stand on the opposite side. This match ends in a giant schmoz with everyone beating the crap out of each other. No contest. Daniel Bryan easily retains because of the championship advantage. Don't know what we're going to be getting going into Extreme Rules if we're just going to see some sort of rematch between Daniel Bryan and those other guys of Evolution. If we're going to see some type of tag team match where we have three or four guys on either side, depending how they want to set that up. What do you guys think about our main event tonight and what we may see come into play for Extreme Rules? Miguel?
I think it's great to see the Shield still in the main event scene. You know, one of the podcasts I listened to made a great point. I can't think of any wrestler or group of wrestlers that's been pushed this hard for this long and been as over as these guys. I mean, it proves that when you don't do the standard WWE, you know, push a guy for a little bit and then, you know, bring him down to the lower card and then push him again thing. When you keep pushing a guy consistently and you make all the right choices, you can get a guy over, you know, and I wish they would do that more often with guys instead of just this whole getting bored with them. The Shield has been constantly in the main event, constantly putting on great matches, and they've just gotten themselves over to the point where, I mean, as a duo, I mean, we were talking about them being split up by WrestleMania, and now they've just turned face and they've got another good 6 to 9 months of action together before they ever decide to split those guys up. Yeah.
I believe one of us said that they weren't going to be breaking up and turning babyface.
Good for you, Peyton. Good for you.
Yes, indeed. It's my birthday. Give me congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah, someone should have brought you a new mic for your birthday.
Drew?
I like the way it ended. It makes you think whether or not if they're going to go with like a standard one-on-one with Triple H and Bryan and then have the Shield face off against the people who interfered, or if they're going to go with a 4-on-4 type of match, which I think is something they should do, because usually I can't remember the last time that the championship hasn't been defended at a pay-per-view. It's been a while, but I think it'd be a great time to just do something like that. Yeah, actually, I don't know. It's, you know, it's just right after WrestleMania. You think that they'll have like some type of defense, but hopefully, you know what, they do the right thing going forward. I really like this ending segment.
Wago?
I'm unsure. I'm really unsure about it. I don't want to see Batista anymore. I'm already sick of him. I think we're going to end up getting a 6-man tag out of Kane, Batista, and Orton versus the Shield, and I think we'll get Triple H versus Daniel Bryan 2 Extreme Rules. As far as this whole segment goes, it was on point and it's building to something, so I like it. But it was just too predictable. Like, you knew you wasn't going to get a match out of it as soon as we hit about 10:50. So, yeah, it is what it is.
Tony?
some of the same points Owego said. The timing kind of forecasted that this wasn't going to be an actual match, and I didn't expect it to be a screw job where you would see the title change or whatever. I am really kind of hoping that we don't get a title match at Extreme Rules. I'd like to see them go even more old school. Just have an actual tag team match and make that the finish, because I think it could sell and people would still be good for it. And I'll one-up it even more. We're at Extreme Rules, and we're going to need some kind of a stipulation to this. What the hell? Just do War Games. Come on. Right? Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be the one little thing that makes it that much more special and make it to where people don't necessarily need to have a title championship match? So whether we get a Triple H and Bryan match and a six-man tag, or we get that the eight-man tag match, or I don't know what their plans are, but I think that this is really cool. I love how the Shield has finally 100% said that they are baby faces instead of just kind of going a little bit back and forth here, even though we kind of all saw the writing on the wall. And anything that can keep the momentum going is cool.
They got rid of the streak. You think they're going to give us War Games?
Maybe.
Next thing you know, Tony's going to want them to put Randy Savage in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, crazy ideas, right?
Yeah.
Did any of you guys watch the Hall of Fame this weekend?
I was at work.
I was too busy appreciating my mother.
No, that's exactly what I wanted. I want to talk about Mr. T and how awesome his mama is.
I love my mama on Arbor Day.
What?
On Labor Day.
What?
On President's Day.
What?
On my birthday.
What?
That
and
was
yes,
so fucking
I even
great.
Love my mother on Father's Day.
It's the perfect way to end that. Oh my
really
god, the whole Hall
said?
Of Fame is worth it just to hear fucking Mr. T's.
You have to seek out the Hall of Fame just to listen to Mr. T's Hall of Fame acceptance speech. It is absolutely tremendous. He actually starts it off saying, I want to spend a few minutes to thank my mama, and I hope I don't bore you.
And I'm not going to be too long, so I hope you indulge me.
He originally started so stiff and wooden when he first came out. I was like, oh, God, this is going to be terrible. And by the end, I was like, I can't believe I doubted it. This was amazing.
And he ends with, sorry.
Which is funny, because when he first came out, he was like, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
They should have had somebody call my mama play him off.
Oh, my God, that would have been great. Everybody else uses the song, why not?
And how great was it that his son was named T Jr.? I thought it should have been lowercase T, though.
Well, what comes after T? It should have been you. How awkward was Jake the Snake's speech, too?
Really?
It was just kind of like...
I loved it.
Good.
He kind of made some like jokes every now and then people didn't know what to laugh at, and they were laughing at something that he was curious about, and he's just like, it's not funny. And everybody else is like, oh, okay, shit, I don't feel bad.
Yeah, then he'd say a fucking joke right afterwards.
Right.
He's like, God damn it, Jake. I'm happy, now I'm depressed. I'm happy, now I'm depressed.
I think it was Dace described it as a roller coaster. Just up and down and up and down, and you're happy, you're sad. You're happy, oh my God, that person's dead. You're happy because it's a great career, and then he fucked it all up.
But hey, at least he finished it off on a positive note, so.
Right.
Who was it that actually tweeted? What was it, the Solomonster Wago, I think you were telling me, tweeted out that after all that, we didn't even get to find out what happened to Mr. T's mama. Is she dead?
Long-term building. I mean, we had Daniel Bryan from SummerSlam up to WrestleMania. We're going to have this Hall of Fame thing go to the next Hall of Fame. And then we're going to have at WrestleMania Mr. T's mama against Shelton Benjamin's mama.
Against all the mamas from WrestleMania 27.
They're going to be all the participants in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal next year.
Hey, can't be any worse than that fucking stupid midget segment from the Hall of Fame.
Jesus Christ, that was terrible.
Now, some people were complaining about comedy. I think it was just the fact that segment sucked. Because then you had, like, Bad News Barrett come out, and he was freaking amazing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that just goes to show you that it doesn't matter if it's comedy or not. If it's well done, then it's okay, and it's got a spot. But Hornswoggle is almost never good.
I love that line. I gotta say, my favorite part of the Hall of Fame was that line that Scott Hall ended with. I forget, but they showed it in a clip where he talks about
how... I'll
tell
you exactly what it is. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do.
No, the whole bit, because the whole bit rhymed, where he was like, there was a one line where he started like, don't give up hope, dreams do come true. you know, bad times pass, but bad guys never do. I thought that was really cool.
Kill pulled out his gun. And,
No, that whole bit kind of rhymed.
It did rhyme, but just what you said
was totally not.
You got the point, though. I really like that line. I really did. I really should memorize it.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, we're getting towards the end of our live time here. We're going to take a little bit of a break to take us out through it. Tune in to the archive version of the show. It's going to be available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and YouTube, as well as here on blogtalkradio.com/MegaPowersRadio or MegaPowersRadio.com and at SmartOutMoment.com. Many places to find the archive version of the show where we will have our good, the bad, and the ugly of tonight's Raw After Mania, as well as our plugs and whatever other random banter may come along. So please stay tuned for that. Thank you for supporting us here on MegaPowersRadio.com. If you're only listening to the live show, you're a jerk. Please find the archive version. I promise you'll find lots of extra laughs. If not, then please join us next week where I won't call you a jerk. I'll be nice. Please enjoy the rest of what we got going on here live, and we'll see you on the opposite side in the archive version if you are listening to that.
Hey, 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 Dace Tacular Nation. It is I, Chris, the Dace Man Dace, host of the Dace Man Show, checking in with you guys to let you know of a new podcast debuting April 13th called For Real Movie Club here on Mega Powers Radio. Join me for the month of April as I moderate a panel of four movie buffs and we discuss Mel Brooks films. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's April 13th. Tune your radios to Mega Powers Radio. And ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Welcome, everyone, to the Extras edition of the NPR Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. We're here to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw. This is the part where we talk about the part that we thought was the most entertaining, the least entertaining, and the one that we thought was the most embarrassing to watch if we had someone else watching the room that wasn't normally a wrestling fan. So let's take it around to you guys, ask you what you thought was the good, the bad, and the ugly on tonight's show. Drew?
My good is going to be the ending segment. I really like that, despite what Steven and Mango might say. I thought it was pretty good. The bad, I don't really have an ugly for tonight because I didn't think there was anything that bad. But if I was going to pick a bad, it'd just probably be the mixed tag match we had with Fandango and like Santino and them. Despite for that, I don't really have an ugly. Is that cool if I don't have an ugly?
Oh, yeah, you don't have to have an ugly.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. Yeah, then, honestly, this was probably a very good Raw, and I'm very glad that this did not disappoint.
Miguel.
Good. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to think outside the box for this one. I really like the Ultimate Warrior segment. Like I said, it was the first time I had ever seen him speak out on a WWE platform. So I really bought into it more than I thought I would. Bad, I'd probably say, is the Orton Batista tag matchup that you knew there was going to be a match that was going to die a death, and it was that matchup. And ugly, I'm going to go with the Page win. I like I said, I just didn't buy into it. I think they did all the wrong choices with that. And I, you know, maybe they can impress me later down the line with Page, but right now I just don't see it. I'm very eh.
Wago?
The good? This whole show, it's been the best Raw I've seen in the goddamn ever. The bad and stretching is probably Rusev just because I fucking can't stand it. My phone is dull as hell. I don't have an ugly. There was nothing ugly on the show. It was just a really good fucking show throughout. And I'm depressing news Wago. I meant to fucking find disgust in everything.
Tony?
I actually thought that people were going to go in another way, and I tried to think of something different for the good. I expected everybody to save the crowd. So my answer, trying to be a little bit different, was the thank you video package. I really liked that they showed all of the amount of the light bulbs and the crew members and the cameras that they used and all that, but drove home the point that there is no WWE without the fans, and it just ends with a nice, simple thank you. I think that that came off really, really nice. I like that a lot. The bad squashes. They squashed both the Usos, the tag team championship in one segment, and the whole Summer Rae, Fandango, Emma, Santino squash. That was just ridiculous. The ugly, Bo Dallas's face.
True that.
Oh, well, that leads nicely into my good, bad, and ugly, because the good for me is the fact that we're starting to see the promos for all this NXT talent, Bo Dallas and Axl Rose, Adam Rose, and having both Paige and Alexander Rusev make their debuts on the show, whatever you thought of them, whatever it may be. The point is, we have the future coming up on the show, and as we said at the beginning of this, it feels like the start of a new season or a new era, even, in WWE. So we'll see how that continues playing out going forward. My bad is going to have to go to the fact that Rob Van Dam is back, because just as soon as it seems like you're taking a few steps forward, you're going to take a step back and start showcasing this guy again. I mean, what is Rob Van Dam going to do coming back like this?
Point at himself.
Put over talent.
Yeah, we'll see about that. And as far as my ugly, I don't know, it's tough. I mean, Christian wasn't on the show. I really got to agree with you guys. This was a nearly flawless show. Knocked it out of the ballpark for WWE. This is the first time in a long while where the 3 hours did not drag. Like, the show really just passed by. Like, I felt like I was normally watching a show. And that's one of the perfect things that you could expect out of it.
So, I think the answer is that for every Raw, they need to do a WrestleMania before it.
And I really want to see the tag team of Curtis Axel and Adam Rose now for Axel Rose.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time. All right, guys, we got one last bit of business here, and that's to allow all the panelists here to tell you about what's good and wonderful in their worlds outside of the time that we spend here on the NPR Raw Post Show. So, Miguel, why don't you start us off for that?
I'd like to promote the Retro Unlim Network. We've got a bunch of shows on there. We've got XFI Live. I believe it's going to be tomorrow. It usually bounces between Tuesdays and Fridays. I believe Clint Davis, the guy that hosts it, has a show on there. But after that, later in the day, we do have the Untitled Movie Show, which is the show that I host. And tomorrow we're going to be taking a look at Wikipedia's worst movies of all time list, and we're going to see if the movies on that list deserve their spot. We're not going to do the whole list. We're probably just going to go from the 90s and up, just because there's so many older movies on that list, and most of us probably haven't seen them. But definitely check that out. Check out the Unradio show Thursdays at 8, hosted by Travis Goss. And check out I Got Gameplay 8 p.m. Saturday nights. Check out all that on the Retro Unlim Network on blogtalkradio.com.
I'm so editing Wikipedia.
Wikipedia is going to get a big change tonight.
Why is Schindler's List on the worst movies of all time list?
Won't be after I'm done with it.
Why is there a movie called Fuck Miguel?
And why is it only the number three worst movie?
Mr. Drew White.
I don't have that much to plug nowadays, but, you know, just going to plug the Drew Crew. You know, we might be crippled. Shut up, Miguel. We might be crippled, but we're not broken quite yet. And that's all I got.
All I got from that was shut up, Miguel. What the fuck did you just say?
Miguel started saying something, so, you know, you got to put him in his place, you know. Ain't no time count,
okay, so Mega Powers Radio right here.
Ain't your turn, Eastern Standard Time. Wait your turn.
This is my turn. Fuck you. Go home. No one
will. Did Peyton tell you to?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely did.
Oh, my bad. I missed that part. My bad.
So, if you hate Drew White, make sure you tune into April 27, Mega Powers Radio, for Addicted to Anime. As we talk about Pokemon, we're going to have a whole bunch of different people on for the cast. You can support us by going to facebook.com/addictedanimefans to get updated on all your news, and addictedanimefans.tumblr.com. And if you want to follow me, you can do that at Steve Wago or facebook.com/Stephen Wago.
From Bendis and Mr. Tony Mango.
All right, guys. As we mentioned before, we're going to give a full breakdown of WrestleMania 30 on this week's episode of Smack Talk, which you can find on youtube.com/smartoutmoment, as well as on iTunes and Stitcher. And that is obviously for the wrestling website, smartoutmoment.com. If you're interested in writing or editing or anything else for that website, send in an application using the contact form. we are going to be doing a whole bunch of other stuff that is going to pop up through Smack Talk and Smark Out Moment, so pay attention to all those details. I'm not going to throw too much out there for you. Bleacher Report is where you can find all the other thoughts that I have for wrestling-related stuff. And for everything else under A Mango Tree, just go to Facebook.com or Twitter.com/AMangoTree or /TonyMango, and you'll find all the information there.
Well, if you have enjoyed listening to this show, please tune in every single week here on Mega Powers Radio. We are following Monday Night Raw every single week, and this is the most interactive post-Raw experience that you are going to find, even though you guys didn't take advantage of it this week. That's okay. We'll have everything open to you next week to call in, get your opinions out there. We'll have the phone lines open, the Skype lines, the chat room, Twitter, all open for you to get your opinions about that evening's Monday Night Raw broadcast. Once again, that is on megapowersradio.com. Support all the awesome things we got on here as well, such as this Sunday we are debuting our new show, For Real Movie Club, a roundtable discussion type thing where we're talking about classic films from artists such as Mel Brooks and whoever else they may decide to talk about on that show. Lots of other things in the works. Big things popping, little things stopping here on Mega Powers Radio. As Miguel brought up earlier, we also have our Fantasy League. Tune in on this Friday's edition of Smack Talk, not just for our full review of WrestleMania 30, but also where we will announce the final scores and the winner for the 2013/14 Fantasy League season, and also details for the next season. And also possibly we may have a date set up for when the draft may be. I have a feeling we're gonna end up doing it on one of these post-draw editions. Well, we'll hammer out the details for that as we go forward. So folks, please stay tuned for all those things going on in all these awesome shows. Stay tuned every week here for this one especially, and we'll see y'all next week. I'm Mike Payton, for Miguel Leon, for Drew White, for Steven Huego, and for Tony Mango. This is the NPR Raw Post Show, and we'll see y'all next week here on Mega Powers.
Hey, Dace Tattoo Nation, it is I, Chris, the Dace Man Dace, host of the Dace Man Show, checking in with you guys to let you know of a new podcast debuting April 13th called For Real Movie Club here on Mega Powers Radio. Join me for the month of April as I moderate a panel of four movie buffs and we discuss Mel Brooks films. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's April 13th. Tune your radios to Mega Powers Radio, and ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.